This evening, if you turn with us again to the book of Jude, right before the book of the Revelation, I'd like to announce we've got Christmas play practices this Wednesday, December the 2nd. Remember that at 7:30. Also, there was some money found in the parking lot today. If you've lost some money, if you come see me after service, be sure to get it. Nobody claims it. We'll put it in the offering. Amen. Maybe why they left it at God's house. Don't know no better place to leave your money. Amen. Heavenly bank account. Glad you saved, say amen this evening. Glad you got a Bible, say amen. Our church is mighty blessed. Good to see this good number back on a Sunday evening. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy to you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Help me now in the teaching tonight. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. Thank you for the folks, Lord, that have come to your house this evening. Many prayers have been prayed. I know you're a God that's on the throne that can answer our prayer. I know you do all things right. And God, those that are facing big things this week, I pray, Lord, you'd show yourself to them like only you, our big God, can do. Help us in our church. Protect us. God, use us for your honor and glory. Let us be a light in a lost and a dying world. I pray you'd protect our ministry from the wicked one. Help us now. I pray you'd save our lost ones. Save our loved ones, save our little ones, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name I ask you, amen and amen. Talking about today, contending for the faith. We talked this morning on the facts to be presented. Now here Jude said that he was a servant. The word is a bond slave. And I'll remind you this evening that we're all bought with a price. In order to become a servant, then we must be justified. I'm glad we're justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification is a heavenly term. It's something that has been done in heaven's account for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. There God has declared us justified by the blood of the Lamb. And then it takes us to the second word of sanctified. If we've been justified and become a servant, then the word sanctification, if something's been done in heaven for justification, then it lets you know that there's been something done in you that has to do with sanctification. Now, that is a work that God does. It sets us apart for Himself. We're no longer of the world, but we are of God, bought with the price of His darling Son. And then we've seen this thing of not only a servant, not only sanctification, but then he said we're preserved in Jesus Christ. I sure am glad there's security in the Lord Jesus this evening. You know, in the Old Testament, as we said this morning, in order for one to be blessed, he must be in that land. But now tonight, in the New Testament economy, we must be in the Lord. And then, in that Old Testament economy, you must have been in a place in Canaan. But now, in order to be blessed in the New Testament economy, you must be in a person. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In that old economy, you had to be in Canaan. But now, in the New Testament economy, you must be in Christ. I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus this evening. Now, these facts to be presented. Not only are we see the word servant and sanctification and security, but you'll also notice there was a selection in verse 3. He said, and that you were called. Now, I'm glad that God's call is universal. It goes out to everyone. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 17 that God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. The gospel call goes out universally. But when a man responds by faith, comes to Christ, then it becomes an individual call. And I sure am glad that when we come to Christ that and we accept Him, it becomes personal. I'm glad I've had a personal call of the Holy Ghost. Knocked on my heart. Matter of fact, in Philippians 3, Paul's writing, he says it is a high call. The greatest call that's ever been known unto man, that God would call you by His gospel. It is a high call. In 2 Timothy 1, it is a holy call. I sure am glad that God is still holy this evening. And then Hebrews 3, there Paul, when he's writing, he said it's a heavenly call. I'm glad that heaven's still open tonight. And He's calling sinners into the family of God. But not only this thing of facts to be presented, but notice what they said where I want to get into tonight real briefly on there's a faith to be protected. Not only facts to be presented, but there's a faith to be protected. Notice now as Jude is writing, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus, he said, now, I gave all diligence. I wanted to write unto you the common salvation. But it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend not for a faith, not for some faith, but for the faith. It's very different. I'd hate to know that I pastored a church and the people didn't know what we believed. It may sound redundant to many of you, but you'd be surprised that the people on the sound of my voice tonight don't even know what the faith is. Matter of fact, we live in a world that has very, very little knowledge of what the faith of the gospel really is. And I can tell you this, it always starts with a person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this faith to be protected in our church, you'll notice this, that ye should, not just the preacher, but ye. Now, I believe in treating a preacher right. I believe God blesses a people for taking care of their preacher. And I believe most of you would agree with me for that. But I can tell you this, when a man quit preaches the concepts and the doctrine of this Bible, it's time to get a new preacher. And I'm going to tell you, we got to stand on the Word of God. Now notice he said that you contend. That don't mean that you roll over and take anything. It means that you'll rise to the occasion. Says that you must contend. Matter of fact, it's a word that has a lot of force with it, that you stand your ground and you demand for the faith to be protected. And tonight, if there's ever been a day and hour when we need to realize that this faith is to be protected, I want to say, first of all, your children are counting on it. Your lost loved ones are counting on the faith. Not any faith, not some faith, but the faith. What is this that Jude is writing that you should earnestly contend for the faith? Look, which was once delivered unto the saints. You'd be surprised what some churches, what they allow in their pulpit to be said. You would be amazed at what some preachers are saying in this day and this hour. Now, I want to say this faith. First of all, there's the truth of the Scriptures. Don't never let anybody tell you this book has any error in it. Young people in the school that you attend, I don't care what they say about your Bible, this King James Bible is right tonight. There's no reason for us to get another Bible. All we need to do is believe and preach and sing out of the one that Jesus left us to use. Now, I want to say tonight that this faith is to be protected. There's the truth of the Scripture. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, you'll find that our Scriptures are inspired. If somebody had asked you how you know the Bible's right, well, in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, he says this. He says simply that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Isn't that amazing? As each writer began to write in our Bible, the Holy Spirit began to move His pen. Did you notice as Jude began his writings, he said, I wanted to write to you about this common salvation, but all of a sudden it rose in my heart as the Holy Spirit moved me to go to another direction. I'm glad tonight our Bible is inspired. He said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. This Bible tells me when I'm wrong. It guides me. I need somebody telling me what the Word of God said. I don't need man's opinion. I need to know what God has said. He says it's instruction in righteousness. Many times people get upset at the preacher, but I remind you the preacher didn't write the Bible, but God's called him to preach the Bible. Don't know why people get upset with the preacher. They ought to get upset with God. And so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now the truth of the Scriptures, they're inspired. Then Proverbs 30:5, they are inerrant. There is no mistakes in the Bible. None. In Proverbs chapter number 30, turn there with me this evening. Proverbs chapter number 30. And look in verse number 5, there's the writer says this about its inerrant. He says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, the truth of the Scriptures, this faith is to be protected. These Scriptures are inspired. They are inerrant. And in Matthew 24:35, Jesus said they are infallible. This is what the devil would have you to think. Well, you know, going by the Bible's not worked. Let me tell you, that's the only thing that's going to work. In Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We must stand on the Scriptures of our Bible. I remember one morning that I was up preaching, and I said the King James Bible is the only Bible that we have, the only Bible that we honor. There was a man got up with his family and walked out of the church. That's his privilege. We'll not go to a perversion. We'll stay with the King James Bible. This ministry's been built on preaching. I love singing, I love fellowshipping, but the only thing that's going to work in this last day and hour is what brought our forefathers through the storms of life, and that is the promises and the anchors of the Word of God. I'm glad that I know who the Bible says is God tonight. I'm glad I'm not looking at anything else where my answers are. Thank God we've got the right Bible in our church this evening. He said, I want you to contend for the faith. If somebody comes to Sunday school literature and passes out an NIV, that's very important. Look all through it. You can examine it. The NIV leaves lots of Scripture out. It even says a young woman, big difference in a virgin woman and a young woman who was born of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take out that virgin birth, friend, you no longer have the purity of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, it's very important tonight that we stand on our Scriptures. This is what will happen. You let a little NIV come in the side door and literature, before long it creeps up in your pulpit. And so the best policy is no. Draw a line in the sand about your Bible. No. And I'm not going to fuss with you about it. I'm going to use the King James Bible. That's all we're ever going to preach out of as far as I'm concerned, and as long as I got anything to do with it. You can be assured of this. He's going to preach. I said he again, is going to preach out of the right kind of Bible. It's very important to have the Word of God. If you don't have the Word of God, you might as well have the Reader's Digest. We got to have the Word of God.
Now, faith to be protected. The truth of the Scripture. Secondly, the truths of the Savior. The devil is upset about the Savior. If the devil can get you to doubt anything or dismay you about the Savior, then there is no salvation. There's one way to heaven tonight. Young people, if you want to go to heaven, you got to get there by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a letter on my desk out in the study. The Rock of Ages ministry, we support many of those good men. There was a letter that was mailed to that ministry. Now the state of Kentucky and the juvenile correction facility, this is what the state chaplain has told the Rock of Ages, you can no longer come into our juvenile state institutions and preach that Jesus Christ is the only way. No wonder he's writing contend for the faith. Somebody's got to stand. You hear me, people? Somebody has got to stand. And so the devil hates the Lord Jesus. Now, the faith to be protected, the truth of the Scriptures, and I'll just run through these, the truth of the Savior. First of all, His virgin birth in Luke 1:26, very important. A lot of men have different ideas about how the Lord Jesus was conceived. But in Luke 1, in verse 26, the sixth-month angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, not a young woman, but to a virgin. And this is espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation or this appearance should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, his earthly name. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And look, then said Mary to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered, said to her, underline it, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." The Bible's still right tonight. With God, nothing shall be impossible. The truths of the Scripture, the truths of the Savior, His virgin birth, then His virtuous life. Nobody never lived like Jesus. Could you imagine as Jude was writing and was raised in his household, the half-brother of Jesus, could you imagine the stories that he could have told of what he seen Jesus do in that carpenter shop? I bet he'd say he never did hoodwink nobody. He always gave them a day's work. He was always kind to everybody that come into the store. Why, it's amazing how that he talked to Mary and Joseph. Nobody ever was like this man. And then not only his virgin birth and his virtuous life, but his vicarious death. He died on an old rugged cross. In Hebrews 2 and verse number 9, the Bible simply said this, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God," now underline this, "should taste death for every man." Jesus died for all. He died for you, that you may go free. And we must stand on this vicarious death. Then in Hebrews 9:11, His vital blood. Hebrews 9 and verse number 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, His virgin birth, His virtuous life, His vicarious death, His vital blood, but His victorious resurrection. Jesus died on the cross, but that ain't the end of the story. He got up on the third day. And may I say that He's the only Savior that there is tonight. The only one that has ever lived and died and rose again. I love that song that Brother Chris sings. Took a stroll through the garden. Hallelujah. He had looked and Buddha was there. Muhammad was there. But when they got down to the garden, there was an empty tomb. From the third day they looked in and said, He's not here. I'm glad the angel said, what you doing looking here? He's not here, for He is risen. You say, how you know He got up? Because He lives in my heart. He's rearranged my life and He's given me hope. He's given me help and He's given me eternal life. And I love Him and praise Him tonight for His victorious resurrection. Then Acts 1 and 9, His visible return. You know what, church? Jesus is coming. I know preachers been saying it a long time, but it ain't changed the story, honey. Jesus is coming. That visible return, the Bible said He's coming on a cloud. Like Brother Mike said this morning, with a shout. I don't know what He's going to shout, but I know it's going to be a shout. I believe it'll be loud enough you hear it. It's going to tear a lot of Baptists' nerves up that day when He shouts. I tell you what's going to tear up a lot of Baptists when they come to Sunday and a lot of people ain't there. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord's coming, church. The Lord's coming back. And He's getting us out of all of this. Hallelujah. Oh, His visible return. We shall see Jesus. What a day. When He steps out on that cloud and says, hey, cloud, get down yonder. Hey, graveyard, cough them up. The Lord's coming. I'm going. Are you going? Oh my. You see, contend for the faith. Not only the truths of the Scriptures, the truths of the Savior. There's the truths of the saints. We're sons in the family. 1 John 3. I sure am glad. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, my wife's favorite verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. I can tell you why you don't make sense to a lot of people. Because they don't know God. So it's foggy up here tonight. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You see, the faith, the truth of the Scriptures, the truth of the Savior, the truth of the saints. We're sons in the family. We're sheep in the fold.
And I'm glad we have the great shepherd. The sheep are helpless. They can't ward off any enemy. They count totally upon the shepherd. I'm glad we have the great shepherd and the bishop of our souls tonight. We're not only sons in the family, sheep in the fold, but we're also servants in the field. I'm glad God uses us for His honor and His glory. You say there's truths of the Scripture, truths of the Savior, truths of the saints, but there's also truths about the sinner. The condition is a sinner, they have a deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17 said it was abundantly deceitful. They have a darkened mind, in 2 Corinthians, the God of this world hath blinded them. They have a dying body, in 1 Corinthians 15, the body is breaking down and dying. But then, not only his condition as a sinner, his conversion to salvation, he must respond to Scripture. I've heard some folks say, well, you don't have to do nothing. Yes, you do. You've got to respond to the gospel call. And then, not only is there to respond in the Scripture, you don't hear this a whole lot, there's the repentance of the sinner. A person's got to be sorry of their sin before they can get saved. You see, you just don't walk up and say a prayer. It's got to be a lifestyle. A person's got to repent of their sin. John the Baptist come out of the wilderness preaching repentance. Jesus preached repentance. Repenting means doing an about face, walking another direction. I believe your life will change when you get saved. Some of you know your life will change when you get saved. And so, there is the responding to the Scripture. There's the repentance of the sinner. There's also the receiving of the Savior. Look in John 1, about done. John 1, verse number 11 this evening. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. I want you to notice something in your Bible. I want you to underline it and remember this. John 1, verse number 11. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Talking about the Jews. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, you must receive Christ in order to be saved. And then, lastly, there's the truths of salvation. Not only the truths of the sinner, truths of the saint, truths of the Savior, truths of the Scripture, but there are truths about salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's the prompting of salvation. What do you mean by that? For God so loved. There's the prompting of salvation. God knew we needed salvation. That's an amazing thing that He loved us enough that He sent His Son. There's the price of salvation. That He gave His only begotten. It cost God something to get you to where He is tonight. It cost Him His Son. It cost Jesus to save you. It cost His life. We're bought with a price. You see, then not only there's the prompting of salvation, the price of salvation, there's the plan of salvation. Isn't that a wonderful plan that whosoever believeth in Him, the poor, the rich, the bond free. There's the promise of salvation. Should not perish. And so my thoughts in Jude in contending for this faith is this. And listen to me, I'm done. Facts to be presented. A faith to be protected. There's a fight to be promoted. What do you say? Well, in Jude, he simply says this, ye, it's all our responsibility to stand, demand it, take nothing else short of what I've read you tonight, because anything less won't do. We must defend the faith
We live in a time of great socialism. Don't offend nobody. Let me tell you, Jesus has been offending folks since He come on the scene. This Bible will offend you. You talking about being politically correct. Jesus said those that were lost were sinners. I appreciate you being here this evening. Stand with us. Appreciate the good day. May the Lord help us to contend for the faith.